Well, good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad to see you all made it in the snow. Did anybody have any slippery experiences this morning? Okay, we had one in the back. Anyone else? Anyone else want to wade in? No? Okay. So last week, we lit that first candle of the Advent season, the candle of hope. And we were reminded at that time that Christ is our hope. We talked about kind of walking the rail trail of life and recognizing that, behold, the light has dawned. He's come up. And because of that, we have hope for the future. And this morning, we lit the second candle of Advent, that candle of peace. And we were reminded of the peace that's ours with the coming of Christ. I've been thinking about peace a lot this past week. It's been on my mind quite a bit, and I have found myself asking for God's peace to unfold in my heart. I wanted God's peace to rest on the Wispell family when we bid goodbye to Bill at the service. And I found myself praying for peace over a little person who's in the hospital these days, not doing super well, getting better a little bit in time, but asking for peace to rest on the family. I've been asking Father God for peace for those who are struggling in their families, crying out to God for peace with Him that would bring a restoration, healing. And then I found myself praying for peace in so many other ways, even in my and for my own life as well, just thinking on God and asking Him to bring peace as you get battered back and forth by different opinions. Boom, boom, back and forth, back and forth. Just asking for God's peace to just rest and center me. As wonderful as peace sounds, I think for many, peace feels rather elusive in the day-to-day. And I think that peace feels elusive in part because of our definition. I think our definition of peace tends to be very narrow. I know this from personal experience. When I think of peace, I think of something like this. You can't know how many pictures I had to wade through to find one, like, you know. But this is what I picture when I picture peace. I picture the cessation of trouble in that moment. They're just lying on the beach there, you know, listening to a book or reading a book. I've got Karen with me. You know, my toes are in the sand. That's what I picture for peace. Because in that moment, no struggle, no difficulties to speak of. But with that picture in mind, it's easy to define peace as simply the absence of trouble. But when I think of peace that way, as simply the absence of trouble, I tend to think of it as only something that I can have in the distant future. When it's just the absence of trouble, I think of it as a long-off goal. And I think, yeah, I will have that peace, that absence of trouble, but it's in the future. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a long-off kind of guy. You probably are better at that. You know, many of you probably have way better sense of, I can look to the future and that'll motivate me. You know what motivates me is right now. I tend to be driven right here, and I kind of look out. I'm learning, you know, to get better at the looking out. But I got to say, I tend to be in the moment. But I think this way of thinking about peace is not to our advantage. This long off, it's just a long off thing. And it reminds me of the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Wonderful line in that hymn. I go to it often in my mind. It says, oh, what joy we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, the hymnist's point is really straightforward. We end up missing out on God's blessings day to day, because we don't come to Him and depend upon Him in prayer, because we don't count on Him, and we don't see prayer as being powerful and able to handle these burdens and the trials that come our way. And I think in a similar way, if I think of God's peace in the narrow sense of, yes, it's coming, but it's going to come someday, it's going to come way off in the future, if I see it as simply the cessation of trouble, then I'm going to miss out on a great blessing of God's peace that's mine for the right here and the right now. The peace of God that's spoken of in the Scriptures does provide for God's final conquest of all human suffering, all brokenness, all trials, and all troubles. That is true. But it's more than that. It's so much more than that. His peace is also a present reality in the life of the believer. God's peace can be found in the unfolding of His presence in all of life's circumstances. In the good, in the bad, in the hard, in the easy, God's peace can be found in everything that we travail in this life. And this peace has its source in God. And it's God's good pleasure to share it with us. It's a peace that is secured for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is a peace that can be grown in us. So since I assume we all face troubles of many kinds, I thought this morning we could use a refresher on God's peace. So let's take a moment and let's pray. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts. And we'll look and see what God has for us this morning. Will you bow your heads? Father God, You are holy. And You are awesome. And so we come into Your presence and we give You praise and adoration, for You are worthy of it. And now, Father God, as we come before You, we pray that You would work in this time to draw us ever closer to You. Father, may Your Holy Spirit be present in this place, and may the Spirit indwell in us richly and fill us and anoint this time to Your glory and praise and to our benefit. Father, we entrust this time to You, and we thank You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the first thing I think we want to take note of if we're going to talk about peace is that God is a God of peace. And He's referred to as such in various scriptures. We see it in Romans 15:33, may the God of peace be with you all. And again in Romans 16:20, may the God of peace, who will soon crush Satan under his feet. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And again in Hebrews 13:20, now may the God of peace, and again goes on to say, equip you. May the God of peace equip you with everything. And when the scripture says that God is a God of peace, it means that peace is an attribute of his. It's a characteristic of God. It's an inherent part of who He is. Peace cannot be separated out from God. It can't be parsed out from God. Now, I don't share this often with folks, but the truth is, if you look square on me, but that's a scary thought. But anyway, you look square on, you're going to see that I have one eyebrow that's higher than the other. I'm not proud of it, and it's caused me untold pain as a junior hire, but it's part of me. It's part of who I am. It's inherent to my being. It's inherent to my personage. Wherever I go, my crooked eyebrow goes. Whatever I do, my crooked eyebrow is right there. And just as God is a God of truth, and God is a God of love and justice and mercy, He is also a God of peace. And He doesn't cease to be a God of peace when He is involved in those other things. This is called the doctrine of God's simplicity. He doesn't cease to be peaceful when He's being the judge. He doesn't cease to be peaceful when He's merciful. He doesn't cease to be peaceful when He's punishing sin. God is always peaceful. He is simple in His personage. He is simple in His deity, complete and whole. We, on the other hand, we exhibit these qualities while not exhibiting the others. I mean, it's rare for us to feel peaceful while we're being judgmental of others. We're not so good at that. But for God, He never ceases to be a God of peace. And because he is a God of peace, and it is inherent to him, he is the source of all peace. He is the creator of all peace. He is the author of the idea of peace. This is not something that mankind came up with on their own, the idea of peace. No, how could a sinful, broken people come up with the idea of peace? No, this is something that is a reflection of who God is, and it's given to us as a grace. Now, picture, if you will, that mankind has this tremendous thirst, this craving for refreshment. And let's pretend for just a moment that I am the source of all water, the perfect refresher. It's perfect for our bodies. But imagine that I don't make it known, and I don't share it with people. I don't make it known that I'm the source of all that water, and I don't make it known that it can be provided, and I won't provide it. Well, since people don't know about this source of water, I guess they're left to quench their thirst on their own. And so they devise all kinds of drinks based on their craving, mostly sugar and coffee based. But these drinks, they don't satisfy their thirst as well as water would. See, people have a great craving for peace. We hear about it quite often. No peace, no justice. We need peace. Peace will guide us. Peace will guard us. We need peace in the world. But they either don't know that God is the source of true peace, or if we do know, we fail to take him at his word and trust him to provide it. So we attempt to meet our need on our own, based on our own cravings, based on our own desires. We say things like this. We say, oh, I'll have more peace if I just simplify my life. Walk into the drugstore and look at some of the magazines. How to simplify your life. Just, you know, bring peace. Peace through exercise. That's what's going to happen. Never experienced that in my life. Oh, maybe if I take on a hobby, that'll give me a sense of peace. Or how about if I organize my life better? Yeah, that'll help. That'll give me the peace I'm looking for. Maybe if I earn more money, or if I leave my job, or if I leave a relationship. We seek peace in all kinds of ways. And some of those tactics aren't necessarily bad for us. But some are really bad for us. But as attempts to gain peace, as attempts to gain real, lasting, true peace, they're only counterfeits. They're only counterfeits of the real peace that can be found in God. And therefore, they're flawed. And they satisfy only a short while. And they generally prove to be unfulfilling. When I think on that, I think on this truth. Now, some of you may argue with me on this point. But I believe that there is only one true source of seafood lasagna in this world. I'm convinced of it. And that source is found in our sister Rose Gachin. That's the one thing I actually heard an amen on over here. Now, there are other seafood lasagnas out there, and they are wonderful. Some would say they're to die for. I mean, they're just good seafood lasagnas. But they're just counterfeits of the real thing. I think they're just a shadow of the seafood lasagna. If I want the real thing, if I want that real seafood lasagna, I have to pretend I'm sick and call Rose. That's the way it works. See, peace can be manufactured. It can be manufactured apart from God. But it won't have the staying power. It doesn't have the beauty. It doesn't have the fulfillment. It doesn't have the essence of peace that comes with the peace that's found in God. It will always end up being dependent on our circumstances or our feelings. And these change continually. You know this just from day-to-day life. Your circumstances change all the time. And trying to base anything in this life on how you feel Wow, that's a scary prospect. I mean, we come in here, we can feel all joyful one minute. Dun, 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 dun. Stub your toe in the parking lot. You know, you're driving down the road, enjoying the fall foliage. You know, you do that, drive down the road, enjoy the fall foliage. And then, car in front of you hits the brake, and you get all mad. All that peace, all that sense of enjoyment in the world around you just comes tumbling down. And then you grouse the rest of the way. You probably don't do that. Lousy driver driving down this road trying to see the leaves and just blow, stepping on his brake and all the way. No, if we want true peace, we need to go to the source of true peace instead of taking our time to try to manufacture it. Now imagine if you can, if God, the source of true peace, wasn't willing to make that peace known to his creation. If this was the case, then we would be truly in a horrible spot. Can you imagine? Imagine the darkness that would attend this life. And it would be made all the worse if God made known that he was the source of peace. Yes, I am the God of peace. But he wasn't going to share it with us. It would be like me making known that I have all the water necessary to quench your thirst. I have it all. I have all the water you will ever need, but I'm not willing to share it with you. It's like cute little kids in the play, you know, in our playroom. I've got all the Legos. I'm not going to share them. You can't have them. And I think that if I had all the water, but was unwilling to share it, I think it would make our thirst worse. Knowing that it could be quenched, but it can't be. But God, who is the source of all true peace, has determined that he will make that peace known to us. Hallelujah for that. The scripture attests to this again and again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in 2 Corinthians. Galatians 1:3, peace from God our Father in 2 Timothy 1:2, and peace from God the Father. He can offer this as a blessing to us because he is the source. It's a blessing because it comes from God. So he says, here, I want to give this to you. Paul can offer it up as a blessing from God. And not only is God willing to share his peace with us, but he's going to provide a way for securing it. This is like my having all the water and being willing to share that water with you, and then building a pipeline to it all at my expense so that you can all share in the water. God looked upon us and he saw our affliction. He saw our need. And he saw our thirst for peace. And he knew that our sin was the cause of our distress, in our confusion, in our pain. And so God acted in love and grace and mercy on our behalf to make a way for sin to be annihilated. To make a way that sin would no longer separate us from God. And he did this through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Romans 5:1 reminds us of this. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we've been justified through faith. When we reached out in faith, we confessed our sin and said, I'm a mess. I got nothing. But you have settled sin. You have paid for the sin. I trust that your payment will cover my sin. And I put my hope in you. And God's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ was imputed to us. It was given to us. And the peace of God now was part of who we are. And by doing this, God, who's the source of true peace, provided and secured the peace for us, and he released it to us. He released it into our lives. This gift of peace was so great that he didn't want us to miss it. I love looking through the scripture and seeing how God is always looking forward in the Old Testament. This gift of peace, this gift of grace, it was foretold through the prophet Isaiah. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Remember, we looked at Isaiah last week, and we were reminded that Isaiah was speaking of the coming of the Christ. And as you go down further in Isaiah, you see that he's speaking of the Christ still here. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. When Christ comes into our life, he wants us to know there will be peace of no end. It'll be ever expanding. And then we see that the peace was announced by the angels in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest in heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God loves this gift. He wants this gift to come into our life. He wants to lavish this gift upon us. He's not only the source, but he's willing to share his peace, and he's willing to secure it in our lives. And it's such a good thing that he wants to foretell it. He wants us to know it's coming. He doesn't want us to miss its coming. And then he announces, it's here. It's here. And then through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, he secures it. That's good stuff. Reminds me of birthdays in our house. You know, Karen is a big birthday person. She loves to celebrate her birthday, and so she foretells of her birthday because it's coming. Our boys could say April 15th before they could say mommy or daddy. It's such a good thing, her birthday, that she foretells it to them. Oh, the birthday's coming. And then, it's such a great gift that when her birthday's around, she announces it. Ta-da! Today is my birthday! How good is that? And then, she secures it. Because she gives those kids, or did, give those kids the resource they needed to get her a gift. How cool is that? So with the source of peace made known, and God's willingness to provide it and secure it, established, his peace is now released in us. He now allows his peace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to work in us, to expand, and to grow, and to permeate every recess of our lives. Now, that source of water has been made known, and it has been offered to us, and it's a means has been provided for delivering it. We've delivered it. We've given you the pipeline to receive it. And now that you can receive that pipeline, now that water can be distributed throughout your circumstance. It's not limited to simply the future. It's now can become a present reality in all that you deal with. Once peace is secured, it can be grown in our spirit. Scripture says this, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And in 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. The peace of God grows in us as we put into practice what he has taught us. When we are more than hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And as we put into practice what he tells us, we're grown in the knowledge of God. By experience, we're shown again and again that he is trustworthy and faithful, and his love for us is proved over and over. It's not by working harder. It's not in our working harder that we please God and are able to pursue peace. It's in the practice of obedience, submission to his will, that empowered by the Spirit begins to work in us and begins to bear peace in us. And the fruit of the Spirit begins to demonstrate itself in us. This peace of God, this peace that passes all understanding, becomes increasingly reflected in our lives, regardless of our circumstance. And we come to understand that through all of life's experience, that the kingdom of God is indeed one of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God's peace is not something we have to wait for. It becomes for the believer, for us, the realization of his presence in everything we do and in every situation. It's by the power of God at work in the Holy Spirit that God's presence and peace can be present even as we deal with the deep hurt and loss of a loved one. And God's presence and God's peace can be present with our families through times of illness and struggle. And God's presence and peace can overshadow us even as couples struggle through relational pains and crises of all sorts. And as we deal with the maelstrom of raising little children and balancing out all that life comes to us with, we can experience peace, not because of our work, but because we simply are walking with Christ and obeying him, and he is building that in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that peace sort of surprises us and begins to develop from the inside out. Peace is not found in developing another scheme. It's found in the daily walk of obedience to God's known word. That's why holiness, brothers and sisters, is so important. That's why it's so important that we look at the word and we put into practice what we see there. Not to earn favor, because we can never earn his favor. Not to secure our relationship to him. No. Once he's granted it, it is secure. But we walk in holiness because as we do, we grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And as he works in us, he provides for us that growing sense of peace in him. We trust him more and more with life circumstance. So if we're going to pursue peace, we're going to want to remember a couple things. We're going to want to remember that God is the source of true peace. We want to be careful that we don't try to seek it apart from him. I sometimes try to seek it apart from him. Sometimes when I'm feeling not peaceful, sometimes what I find myself doing is working like harder. I'll just work harder and I'll do these good things and somehow that'll help me feel peaceful. There's no peace in that. And if there is, it's just that Confederate peace. It's a counterfeit. And we're going to want to remember that God is not withholding peace from us. He actually wants to lavish on us. I think that way sometimes too. Why? Why am I struggling? Why can't I find that measure of peace? What is it that God's doing to me? Have you ever heard someone say that? Why is God doing this to me? Oh, God wants to lavish his love upon you. God is not doing this to you. He desires for you to have peace. He's the source of all peace. He wants to release peace into your life. Don't fool yourself. Don't miss out on peace because you think that somehow he's withholding it from you. That's a lie from the very pit of hell. And we have to remember that he demonstrated that he wanted to lavish his peace upon us by providing and securing his peace for us in Christ Jesus. What better proof could we have that he desires that we would have peace in all of our lives than to recognize that he brought peace in the most significant part of our lives, that is the separation we had between he and himself. If God was able to bring peace between sinful men and a holy, righteous God, why on earth can that peace not be released into every portion of our lives? That doesn't make any sense. He took care of the biggest things in life, the biggest issue that we'll ever have to contend with this side of eternity, our sin before God. And now that secured, he wants you to live in light of that peace. And finally, we're going to want to remember that God has not only provided and secured our peace, but he intends that it would continue to grow in our lives through our obedience to his word. He doesn't want us just to stay in one place. He wants to trust him with our families. He wants to trust him with our work. He wants to trust us with the trials of life. He wants to trust us when we're staring face to face with death. He wants us to struggle in our times. He wants to bring peace in our times of mourning. He wants to be present in every portion of our lives and to bring peace in every portion of our lives. He wants us to grow and be multiplied in us. And we don't have to worry that there won't be enough peace. He is the source. He just keeps that pipeline open. He continues to allow that peace to flow into us if we'll continue to fix our eyes on Him and walk in faith. Through all of these circumstances, we will see that peace surprises us. It comes on us. And here I would offer a word of warning. In centuries past, it was not uncommon for coal miners to take a birdcage into the mines, a canary. And they'd go deep into the coal mines and they'd bring this canary. And the canary would serve as a warning to them. Right? If the canary died, they would know there was unhealthy amounts of methane in the mine or too much carbon monoxide. And so it would be a warning to them. I know in my own life that the lack of peace that I experience at times is my canary in the coal mine. See, sometimes, this may not be true of you, but I know sometimes in Wes's walk, as I'm going through things, I'm drawn to the counterfeits. I want to develop peace my own way. Or I'm not experiencing peace and I want to get myself settled, but I'm not experiencing it. And that lack of experiencing peace is my canary in the coal mine that says, you know, Wes, maybe you're not trusting Him. Maybe you're trying to go about it your own way. Maybe, Wes, maybe you're seeking peace at the wrong source. Maybe, just maybe, Wes, you're putting your hope in the wrong things. And that's why you're not experiencing the peace of God in this moment. And because God is so gracious and so loving, it means that as He brings that chastisement, as he makes that known to me, He doesn't condemn me. Because the Scripture says now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. He doesn't condemn me as He points those things out. Instead, He says this, "Oh, dear one, I love you. I want you to live in the freedom that I purchased for you. I want you to experience peace in this time, in this moment. The fact that you don't tells me that you don't have your eyes set on me. Set on me, and I will surprise you with my peace. Because I'm the source. Because I want to share it with you. Because I've secured it for you, and I've been given you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you so that you can experience it." If you're not experiencing peace, you may want to ask yourself, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? And recognize that if you find, you know, I'm not fixed on Him, I'm not trusting Him, then don't use it as a way to beat yourself up. Don't use it as a way to, you know, to somehow hang your head and remind yourself of what a scum you are, whatever. Don't go down that road. Instead, be reminded that He's the source. Be reminded that He wants to share it. Be reminded that He has secured it for you. And trust Him and walk in light of His word. And you'll feel, and you will have that peace. Won't happen instantaneously, but you will experience it. So, life throws a ton our way. Last week, I saw a ton of need for God's peace to be resting upon us. But I keep coming back to the same truth. God has it covered. So I can say, peace to you. Peace to you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for the peace that you can give us. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father God, for all that you are and all that you do. We stand humbly before you and give you the glory and the honor due your name. Amen.